Please repeat after me. Ada imaya padipadaya
Ada imaya
Jara maranama Primojaisami Idang me punya Asawakya waham Hodu Idami punyam Nibbanasa Pachiyo hodu Imano punya bhagam Savasadanandima Sabbe sadha Sukhita hondu Sadhu Today, this is the fourth of March 1998. Today we'll talk about how we should practice Vipassana meditation. As you know, there are two types of meditation in Buddhism. One is a Samatha meditation, the other is a Vipassana meditation. Samatha here means concentration. When the mind becomes concentrated on a single object of meditation, it becomes calm, tranquil, and serene. So, it's translated into calm meditation or tranquility meditation. And so on. Samatha literally means the mental state, that calm the mind. That's the literal meaning of the samatha. So only the mind becomes concentrated on an object, it becomes calm. So when we say the mental state that makes the mind calm is a concentration, concentrated mind. Vipassana, as you know, we is a various. Vipassana is a seeing or realization or right understanding. Literally, it means seeing of the various characteristics. Here, the word various characteristics refers to the three characteristics of existence. That is impermanence, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, and non-self or non-soul, impersonality. Impermanence or transience is anicca in Pali. Suffering, unsatisfactoriness is dukkha in Pali. Non-self, non-ego, non-soul, no soul, and impersonalities is anatta in Pali. So the word we of vipassana refers to these three characteristics. So seeing of impermanence or transience, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, and non-self, no soul, non-ego, and personal impersonality of the phenomena. And here seeing means realization or right understanding. So vipassana means realization or right understanding of impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature or non-self, but no soul nature. So samatha meditation is a practice to attain deep concentration of the mind only, not to realize these are three characteristics. Vipassana meditation or insight meditation is practiced to attain some degree of a concentration and to realize these are three characteristics. Thereby, eradication of all mental defilements and experience of the cessation of suffering, Nibbana. So, Samatha meditation is to attain deep concentration of the mind. Vipassana meditation is to attain not only some degree of a concentration, but to realize these are three characteristics of a body-mind process and attain the cessation of the suffering. When samatha meditation is practiced, meditator takes a subject as the object of meditation, such as respiration, or 10 types of kasinas, 10 devices of a kasina, and 10 kinds of asubha, unpleasant things, and so on. There are 40 subject of a samatha meditation. Out of the 40, in ancient time, mostly meditators take respiration as the object of meditation. There were some bhikkhus who uses the 10 devices of a kasina also as the object of meditation. But mostly they take the respiration as the object of meditation. Samatha, the object of samatha meditation is both concept and reality. The point is to concentrate the mind on a single object of meditation very deeply, so that the mind is absorbed in the object. That is called absorption. Apna in Pali. Today my voice is not good because the vocal cord is blocked with the phlegm. Yes, so samatha meditators takes only a single object, such as respiration and some devices of kasina. Nowadays, when we are supposed to practice vipassana samatha meditation, or when we think a meditator should practice samatha meditation during his vipassana practice, we usually teaching to practice either respiration meditation, anapanasati, or Buddha Nusti Bhavana, reflections of the Buddha's attributes, or Metta Bhavana, loving kindness meditation. Mostly we teach Buddha Nusti Bhavana, recollection of the Buddha's attributes, and Metta Bhavana, development of loving kindness. So whatever the object may be, sometimes meditator takes only a single object, because the purpose of samatha meditation is to concentrate the mind deeply on a single object of meditation. So when samatha meditators try to concentrate the mind on a single object of meditation, suppose respiration and breathing or breathing, he focuses his mind at the nostril or on the tip of upper lips. Most of the time, the mind has to stay with in-breath and out-breath at the nostril. Whenever you breathe in, you observe it making mental note as in breathing or in. Whenever you breathe out, you focus your mind at the nostril and observe out breathing, making mental note as out. In, out, in, out. When the mind goes out, you must not follow the mind, observe it. Bring the mind back to the object, the primary object. That's the respiration. Focus on it. Noting as usual, in, out, in, out, in, out. Here, you can observe the touching sensation at the nostril too. Whenever the air comes in, it touches at the nostril. Whenever the air goes out, it touches at the nostril. So this touching sensation also should be the object of meditation. Whenever the air comes in, no touching. Whenever the air comes out, no touching. Touching, touching, touching. Touching has the four primary material elements. It's composed of the four primary material elements: hardness or softness, fluidity or cohesion, heat or cold, and movements or motion. All these are three primary characteristics constitute so-called breath, respiration. But the air element, movement, motion, is more manifested than the other three primary objects. When the air comes in and goes out, it touches at the nostril, and that touching has also the four primary material objects. It has softness or hardness. It has a cohesion. It has hot or cold. It has movements. But here, in the touching, the hardness or softness, the other element is more evident than the other three elements. But whatever it may be, the purpose of a samatha meditation is to concentrate the mind on this touching sensation or respiration. So whenever the mind goes out, brings the mind back on the object of meditation, that's touching sensation or respiration. Why should samatha meditation bring the mind back to the primary object? Because he wants to deeply concentrate his mind on a single object of meditation. That is the reason. Here, meditators should be careful about the difference between the technique of samatha meditation is that of vipassana meditation. And vipassana meditation, the purpose is to realize all mental states and physical processes, and they are true nature. Here, they are true nature means in three characteristics. Every mental state has three characteristics. Every physical process has also three characteristics. So, the purpose of a samatha meditation is to realize any mental states or physical process in their true nature of three characteristics. So whatever mental states or physical process may be the object of a meditation, any mental state can be the object of a personal meditation. Any physical process can be the object of meditation, because every mental state has these three characteristics which must be totally realized by the meditator. Every physical process has these three characteristics which must be thoroughly realized by the meditator. So vipassana meditator does not take only a single object. It takes many varieties of objects that are mental states and physical processes. So whatever mental state may be the object of meditation, whatever physical process is the object of meditation. So here the difference is, samatha meditator takes only a single object. Vipassana meditator takes every mental state and physical process as the object of meditation. The purpose of Samatha meditation is to attain deep concentration of mind on a single object. The purpose of Vipassana meditation is to realize all mental states and physical processes in their true nature. That's the difference. And then, when Samatha meditator takes a physical process as the object of meditation, suppose the rising and falling movement of the abdomen. When the abdomen rises, meditator observes it as it is, making mental note rising. When the abdomen falls, meditator observes it, making mental note as falling. During his contemplation of rising and falling movement of the abdomen, that is a physical phenomena, physical process, he may hear any sound of voice distant enough. Then he should note that hearing. He must not observe the content of the object. He must observe the consciousness of hearing. The sound of the voice is the content of the process, the consciousness for hearing. So he must not note the sound, but he must note the consciousness for hearing. If he notes or observes the consciousness of hearing, it includes the object or the content also. Later on, he comes to realize the nature of a sound of voice, the content. Not only the consciousness for hearing, but also the content of the process for hearing. So he notes the hearing, observing the consciousness of a hearing. After the hearing has stopped, return to the primary object, note as usual, rising and falling. In this way, whatever he sees must be observed, noting as seeing. Then comes to rising and falling movement, the primary object. Whatever he smells must be observed as smelling. Then, when the smell has disappeared, he returns to the primary object, note as usual, as rising and falling. Whatever he tastes, whatever he touches, must be observed as it is, then return to the primary object. When the mind goes out, wanders off, Vipassana meditator must not bring the mind back to the primary object. He must follow the mind and observe it attentively enough, making him know as going, or wandering, thinking, imagining, planning, and so on, as the case may be. When wandering mind, thinking, imagining has stopped. Return to the primary object, notice yourself. Why does Vipassana meditation follow the mind and observe it as it is? Because the purpose of insight meditation is to realize the characteristics of any mental states or physical process. So, to realize the three characteristics of a wandering mind, thinking mind, thought, meditator has to observe it as it is, making mental note as a wandering, wandering, thinking, thinking. Until that thought has disappeared. Only after it has disappeared, return to the primary object and note as usual. Here, the difference between samatha, the technique of a samatha and the vipassana is very distinct. When the mind goes out in samatha meditation, when the mind goes out and wanders and thinks about, it must be brought to the primary object, that's either respiration or any other object, and focus the mind on the respiration. Samatha meditator must not observe the wandering thought or thinking mind, because he need not realize any mentality or physicality. What he needs is to attain deep concentration of mind on a single object. That's why he has to bring it back to the primary object, that's the respiration, and focus the mind on it attentively, noting and breathing out breathing. But the Vipassana meditator needs to realize impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, impersonal nature of a wandering mind, thinking mind. He must observe the wandering thought, thinking mind as it really occurs, noting, wondering, wondering, thinking, thinking, imagining, imagining. When you note these thoughts, your noting mind should be more attentive, more energetic, and somewhat quick, so that it becomes more and more powerful, more than the thinking process or the wandering process. When the noting mind becomes stronger, sharper, and more powerful, then it overwhelms them, the thinking mind, the thought process. Then the thought process stops in a short time. But the purpose is not to make the thought process stop or disappear, but to realize it in its true nature. The purpose is to realize three characteristics of this thought process. Meditator is disturbed, annoyed by the long wandering thought. So that's why he has to note the thought more attentively, more energetically. And somewhat quickly, to make the note in my stronger, sharper, and more powerful. When the note in my is weak, the note in my is overwhelmed by thinking process, wandering mind, thinking mind. Then the note in mind is dragged along the thought process, and the thought keeps going on. The meditator can't concentrate very well. So, to make note in mind stronger, sharper, and more powerful, the meditator notes the mind, the wandering thinking mind, more attentively, energetically, and somewhat quickly. When the note in mind, which is a strong mind, sharper, overwhelms the thought process, thinking process stops. At that time, meditator notices the thought doesn't last long. It arises and it passes away. So here, arising and passing away of the thought is a vaguely realized meditator. It's impermanence, but not clearly realized. When concentration becomes deeper and deeper, he comes to realize these thoughts, individual thoughts arising and passing away one after another. One thought moment arises and then passes away, another thought arises and passes away in this way. A series of a thought has arising, is arising and passing away one after another. He comes to realize with a deeper concentration. Unless the concentration is deep enough, he is not able to realize it. The Baba says to realize these thoughts, and there are three characteristics. So whenever whatever thought arises, and sitting as well as in the walking, meditator must note it attentively, energetically, somewhat quickly. In the sitting as well as in the walking, when thoughts are noted, they become less and less. Then concentration becomes deeper and deeper. If the thoughts are not noted, they become more and more. Sometimes they last very long, keeps going on because they are not noted. Then concentration is weak. So there are two kinds of benefit of observing the thought or noting the thought process. One is concentration of better concentration of the mind. The other is realization of the three characteristics of a thought. So when thoughts, the mind goes out, wanders, and there's a thought rises, meditator must not fail to observe it, to note it as it is, make a mental note, thinking, wondering, imagining, to realize it, and it's the true nature. This is the difference between samatha meditation and vipassana meditation. Vipassana meditator, if he brings the mind back to the primary object, if the mind goes off, it's wrong. It's the way of a samatha meditation, not the that of a vipassana meditation. When the meditator realizes impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, impersonal nature of these thoughts, his mind is purified because he doesn't have in his mind any defilement, because he realizes the thought and its three characteristics. Realizing all these thoughts is impermanent, arises and passes away. It's a suffering or unsatisfactoriness. This thought is neither a person or being, neither a self or no soul, just mere mental states. Because he realizes it and its true nature, his mind is purified. There's no defilement at all in the mind. At that time, his mind is liberated from mental defilements or negative mental states. This is called the liberation of the mind from defilements. When you are able to, when your mind is liberate all of the time, liberated from all these defilements, you live in peace. That is the goal of this vipassana meditation. When the mind is liberated from negative mental defilements, then later on, the body also liberated from suffering. So both mind and body are liberated from all kinds of suffering. This liberation from suffering, liberation from defilements, is the purpose of a vipassana. So here what I want you to notice is that in samatha meditation, when the mind goes out, meditator has to bring it back to the primary object. And vipassana meditation, when the mind goes out, meditator must follow the mind and observe it as it is, noting as thinking, wondering, and so on. That's the difference between samatha and vipassana. And also, when samatha meditator that samadhi, excess concentration, or jhana samadhi, absorption concentration, or fixedness concentration, then his mind is totally absorbed into the object of meditation. There is no mental defilement in that concentrated mind. At that time, the concentrated mind is purified from hindrances of mental defilements. It's a purity, it's called purification of a mind. Because the mind is purified from such as greed, hatred, ignorance, conceit, jealousy, and so on. So meditators feel peaceful and happy. That is the benefit of a samatha meditation. But when the mind is disengaged from the object of meditation, the concentration is also broken. There's no concentration. Then the mind goes to the other many different objects and their defilement, any of the defilements or many defilements comes into the mind. When the mind gets defiled with lobha, greed, hatred, is ignorance, the meditator does not feel happy or peaceful. He has got suffering. So, what I mean is, samatha meditator enjoying peacefulness of the mind while his mind is deeply concentrated on a single object of meditation. As long as the mind is absorbed in the object, he feels peaceful, calm, tranquil, and serene. But when the mind is disengaged from meditator, the meditative object, when the concentration is broken, then the defilement comes into the mind, the meditator is suffering. But in Vipassana meditation, meditator concentrates the mind to a certain extent on any mental states or physical process. Then he realizes true nature of mentality and physicality. That's the impermanent, suffering, and past nature of mental and physical phenomena. His mind is purified at that moment because he realizes impermanent, suffering, impersonal nature of mental process or physical process. He experienced it. He realized it not through theoretical knowledge, not through learning scriptures, but through his own personal experience of mental and physical phenomena. So, this experience of three characteristics is a very deep and profound. If we experience these three characteristics, impermanence, suffering, impersonal nature of either mental states of physical process, it, so to say, remains in the mind all the time. But actually, this mental state or insight knowledge that realizes these three characteristics is also impermanent, is also suffering, It's also impersonal and not no other. It arises in process way, but actually the force of this knowledge, this inside knowledge, remains in the thought processes. And any the process of a consciousness which is going on for life. So even though he left meditation retreats or meditation center and do his work at home, he sometimes may recollect his experiences in meditation, experiences of these three characteristics. Then these three characteristics, impermanent suffering, impersonal nature of a body mind process manifested in his mind as if he is realizing at that moment. Then the mind is purified, then he feels peaceful and tranquil. What time means is the benefit of Vipassana meditation is not only in a sitting but also in the whole life and the next life and the process of another existence. So it helps the mind to be purified from this experience at any time. That's why Vipassana meditator live in peace and happiness to a certain extent. But if he has attained any stage of enlightenment, the first stage of enlightenment, path sota patimaga, the second stage of enlightenment, sukadagami maga, third stage of enlightenment, nagami maga, fourth stage of enlightenment, arhata maga. If he has attained any of these four kinds of enlightenment, so his mind is more purified from mental defilement, because some of the mental defilement has been uprooted by the path knowledge or enlightenment concerned. So he has to know some mental defilement which makes his mind defile and makes him suffer. So he can live in peace and happiness to a certain extent. But if he is able to attain all the four kinds of enlightenment, his mind is completely purified, all the time purified. It's liberated from all kinds of mental defilement. Then he live in peace and happiness. That is why we should practice Vipassana meditation, insight meditation. Tomorrow also we will continue this discourse. Today is enough. May all of you rightly understand the purpose of a Vipassana meditation and strive yourself and attain the cessation of a suffering, liberation.